All right, Jabbo, say good evening. Good evening. So on a serious note, I ask your mechila. I hope you've seen over the years how seriously I try to take timeliness in our shiurim, to try to start on time, and chas shalom, never to waste anyone's time. So I apologize. I was just at a chasana that just went late, and they had asked me to read the ksuva, and I felt bad asking them to reshuffle the kibudim. So I was a little bit stuck. So I apologize. I ask your mechila, as I know that everyone's time is incredibly precious and everyone's time is incredibly important. And so I chas shalom, would never intentionally chas shalom wasted, especially a chodesh el, a week and a half before Rosh Hashanah. So I ask your mechila and emir tzashem, the kabbal to be better in the future. So we'll say. So tonight we are continuing in our limud of the Piyajetzna. And I will say, so, and again, I really would urge you, just, it's not a fundraiser, but I would urge you, it's kedai to own the sefer. Don't live your life out of copies. Don't be a Xerox Jew. Right? own it. On a serious note, when you buy a sefer, you're saying that this is important to me. It's the same way. You buy a ticket to go to a sporting event. You could just watch it on TV. No, because buying a ticket, that I'm vested. You buy a safer, it's yours. It's vested. You put your name in it. It's on your sheet. And again, they're paid for this. It's not like we don't need to move merchandise. I'm saying this because, again, the only way a person grows in their learning is if they invest in their learning. I invest time in my learning. I invest resources in my learning. And the truth is, a sheet comes and goes. You have it 1 week. You don't have it the next week. A safer, this is yours forever. It's yours. It goes to your children. It goes to your children's children. And the Meretz Hashem, generations down the line, will open up the Zaydas, B'nai Machshava Tova, and they'll see, oh, the Zayda learned this Sefer, and the Meretz Hashem, the Einik Lach, will go ahead and continue in the same way. So, Bozzi, with that, let us begin. And if that box has one Sefer left at the end of the shiur, all right, good. All right, so we'll say, so we are continuing tonight. We are continuing tonight on Daf. Can I put over here? Page 10. So we'll say page 11, actually. So we're beginning again. David, thank you. A new commission.
Get your beers here.
Right, get your beers, yeah. So we are continuing Emir Sashem this evening on page 11, the Seder Emsoi V'Yisot HaChevra. So we'll say here we're going to begin to get in with the Piyajetzna a little bit more into what it is that we're trying to accomplish. If you remember again, last week, we spoke about criteria for entry into the Chabura. What qualities does a person have to possess? And that we saw again in Os Dalid, we saw again five different criteria that a person has to possess in order to enter into the Chabura. Now the Piyajetzna is going to begin to discuss a little bit more, what is it that they're trying to accomplish? Well, when we're part of this Chabura B'nei Machshava Tova, what is it that we are trying to accomplish? So I will say, take a look at Os Aleph. Page 11, Os Aleph. Says the Piyajetzna. HaPosuk Miyaser Sisova Omer Batishkach Kel Mecholulaka. So the Pasuk, when speaking about, this is part of the Tochecha, part of the curses and rebuke of Klal Yisrael, for when they do not follow in the ways of the Torah. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, what was Klal Yisrael's mistake? Batishkach Kel Mecholulaka. Ultimately, again, we forgot Hashem. We forgot Hashem. It's interesting that when Moshe Rabbeinu tries to frame what it is that Klal Yisrael did so terribly, at the end of the day, the transgression was shichacha. We forgot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh ikar hasiba shemerachakes es ha'adam min elokav. And Abba said, this shichacha, this forgetting of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is ultimately what distances man from the Ribono Shel Olam. U'bitfilasal shorah b'melimelech, so he quotes over here, Melimelech of Lezhensk, Noam Elimelech, the Rebbe says, Tehei machshev osinu zaka, zako, tzelula, uberura vechazaka. So I will say, the Piyajetzna over here is highlighting something amazing. The Noam Elimelech had a tefillah that he used to say every single day before davening. And what would he ask for in this tefillah? He said, Ribono shel olam, let our machshev osinu, our thoughts, be zaka, tzelula, berura vechazaka. Literally, translucent, clear, Brura is also clear and strong. So what the Rebbe was davening for Abosei was clarity of thought. Let me have clarity of thought in life. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Klal Yisrael, why do you get yourself into trouble? Vatishkach kel mecholaleka. We forget. What's forgetfulness? forgetfulness is the antithesis of clarity of thought. When I have clarity, I know I remember. When I forget, I lack that clarity. And the Rebbe goes on and he says something amazing. The Chol Ish Yodea. Rabbi say, listen to what he's describing over here. And this is going to be a beautiful tie-in to Yamim Noraim as well. Every person knows. Shebeim Hayaroa Be'enav Mamish Echu Omei Lifnei Hashem. If a person was really able to see with his own eyes that he's literally standing before Hashem, if a person was actually able to see that, lo haya lo shum yetzahara, person would have no yetzahara. Adraba, eskol nafsho v'chol nishmaso hayamotzi b'diburim kidoshim lifnei Hashem, achis batal kulo v'yiskala ayedein bo yisbarach. So the Piaget says something amazing. If we're really able to see, if we had true clarity of thought as to what it means to stand before the Ribono Shel Olam, to truly stand before Hashem, the Rebbe says, there would be no Yetzirah. There'd be no Yetzirah. Because we'll say, what's the Yetzirah? How does the Yetzirah work? You know, it's interesting. What's the first line in Shulchan Aruch? Well, the truth is, the first line in Shulchan Aruch is, Kum Ka'ari, get up like a lion. The first line in the Ramah. The Ramah says, how does the Ramah open up his commentary on Shulchan Aruch? Shivisi Hashem lenegdi summit. I place Hashem before me at all times. And the Balatah, so why does the Shulchan Aruch begin with that? Right? Why is that the first line? Right? Shulchan Aruch is a book of halacha. And the Balatanya, the Shner Zaman of Liadi, says something so beautiful. The Balatanya says, what's Shivisi Hashem lenegdi? So what does it mean I place Hashem before me at all times? What does that mean practically? It's God awareness. The Baal HaTanya says God awareness. That I recognize that I live my life lifnei Hashem. I live my life in a perpetual state of being before God. And so the Ramah says, before we get into all the things you should do, you shouldn't do, how you should do it, how you shouldn't do it, lemaisa, where does it all start for a Yid? Where does it all start for a Jew? I live in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. And that recognition, that I'm constantly, Rabbi was saying, in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam, that creates a clarity of thought. That's what the Rebbe is describing over here when he says, Teimach Shivosenu Zako Tzlula Ubura Vechazaka. If I had real clarity of thought, I would know that I stand before Hashem. And when I stand before Hashem, everything becomes clear. The Yetzihara is gone. Rabbi said, does anyone have a Yetzihara, a taiva to sin when they are lifnei Hashem, when they know that they're in the presence of God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Rabbi said, I'll give you like lahavdil, even though the PhD said I'm not supposed to talk about politics. You know, it's amazing. I'm very enthralled by watching all of the mourning procedures for the Queen in England. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating to see. I spoke about this on Shabbos. Fascinating to see because the truth is you can see what Malchus is. You can see what royalty is, how royalty acts. And it's an amazing thing. So you have people, like if you look, you have people when they shuffle before it, I forgot what the technical term is, but when they're walking by the coffin, I guess the procession, like it's like you can see, it's like Yira. It's like Yira. It's like an awe, a reverence. And could anyone imagine getting on this? By the way, the one thing you'll never find in front of the Queen's casket is the same thing you'll find in every single Shul Shachar's Mincha Ma'ariv, which is what? Cell phone ringing, right? No one's cell phone is going off in front of the Queen. It's an incredible thing. Now, I guarantee you, I would bet money on this. Not one cell phone. Shachar's, you can't get through brachas, right? Somebody's phone is going off. Right? We staged that. We did that. We arranged that beforehand. Why? By the way, excellent. What's the pshat? Because when they're going in front of the Queen, they recognize that, you know what? I'm lifnei, this in this case, lifnei Malka. I'm in front of the Queen. And when you have an awareness that you're in front of the Queen, that mandates a certain level of behavior. So the Piaget says something amazing. He says, can you imagine if we went through life with real God awareness? Rabbi Osei, you'll say, I have God awareness. I know that Hashem exists. That's not the God awareness that he's talking about. That I know that Hashem exists, that's obvious. God awareness that he's describing over here is a recognition that I am before the Ribono Shel Olam at all times. If I lived my life with that awareness, that machshava tzalula, that clarity of thought, how different my life would be. The Piaget still goes on. He says, if I recognize that I was before Hashem, there would be no Yetzirah. Adraba. es kol nafsho v'chol nishmaso hayomotzi b'diburim kidoshin lifnei Hashem ad she yisbatal kulo v'yiskalo ayedeim bo yisbarach. Rebbe said, not only would I not have, not only would my Yitzhahara not be able to exert an influence on me, but what else? I would be so overwhelmed by tov, so overwhelmed by good, that the Yitzhahara simply would not have the oxygen, it wouldn't have the air to be able to survive. V'lo zu, af zu shebeshah shirak daito machshavtu chazaka b'Hashem, gam kein margish kol echad b'yatzmo bitla Yitzhahara. Rebbe said, the Piagetzna says, you might think to yourself, I have no idea what the Rebbe is saying. I can't relate. I can't relate to this dynamic of being lifnei Hashem, of literally being in the presence of God, where I feel no Yetzer. The Piagetzna says, yes, we can relate to it. How could we relate to it? Look what he writes. Va'im, ein kol echad mi'yisrael margish l'mashal b'yom ha'kipurim, ubefrat beis kol nidre uneila butter kol taiva but beetle kol taiva behira v'ratzon lo tov. Rebbe, let me ask you a question. Don't answer it. You'll just think about it. Hey, we all have different taivas, right? We all have different desires that many times we think about throughout the course of the day. Rebbe says, is anybody thinking about their taivas during neila? Kol nidre maybe a little bit, right? Because you just ate, you're full, you're just coming up, whatever, right? By neila. Does anyone think about the taivas that plague them throughout the... Okay, maybe you're thinking about eating. Okay, that's understandable. But I'm talking about the taivas. I'm talking about the lust, the desires that so often derail us in life. Is anyone thinking about that during Neila? So you'll say to yourself, oh, of course not, because I'm exhausted, right? I'm too tired. So the Piagetzna says, that's not it. It's that by the time I go through a Yom Kippur, I have an acute awareness that what? That I am lifnei Hashem. That I am before the Ribono Shel Olam. And when I know that I am before the Ribono Shel Olam, by definition, what that leads to is a bitul Yetzer Hara. When I recognize that I am before God, it's not the pshat that the Yetzer Hara necessarily disappears, but it's reined in. It's reined in. When I know that I am with Nei Hashem, it's reined in. He goes on, he says, Mibnei Shemachshavto Baruch Hazaka Az B'Hashem. So Rebbe say, why is it that I have no taivas during Neila? Besides eating, right? Why is that no taivas? Because I have clarity of thought. And what's my clarity of thought? I am lifnei Hashem. Clarity of thought, Rebbe say. And I would tell you, by the way, I think, to me, I always look forward to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for one simple reason. When else do you have hours of time to contemplate nothing else except your relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam? Right? It would be nice to think about that we do it by Shacharis. We don't do it by Shacharis really during the week, right? Because we just got to go. Mincha Ma'ariv, you know, usually most of life, I have to be somewhere else. I was thinking, I was supposed to say, Rabbi Yaakov and I were just at the same chasana. I was thinking about this. You know, they had Barry Weber was singing at the chasana. Mamish beautiful. Yaakov, what was the song he sang? That was one of my favorite songs. He taught it to me by Lag Ba'Omer. Ribon Kolam, the most magnificent song, and I'm listening to it, and I was like, okay, I can't get into it. Why can't I get into it? Because I'm thinking to myself, I told this year I'm going to be there at 8:10, right? Unless like the Ribon Shalom picked me up from the wedding and literally put me down. There's no way I was getting there by 8:10. So I'm thinking, should I send another message? Not send another message. I'll call Steve. Maybe there's food left. Maybe we could order some more. Maybe Steve could go back home, fry up another something, whatever. You know,
do it at the barbecue.
Okay, maybe. So, but you know, it struck me, and I realized I was so upset at myself, because here, one of my favorite songs in the entire world that moves my neshama in such a dramatic way, I can't enjoy it. Why can't I enjoy it? Because I need to be somewhere else. I have to be somewhere else. And so what ends up happening? There's a beautiful experience right there in front of me. Can't think. And I felt like so much of life is like that. I'm never present. I'm always going somewhere else. So when I'm at Shacharis, oh, got to get to work, right? That's the Echtzibur. You know that. That guy with the yard site gets up there, and suddenly, he's Moshe Rabbeinu saying every single word of Psukei Dezimra. Right? Listen, buddy, you know, move it along, right? You got things to do over here. I got it. Neshama should have an aliyah. Should be a Melitz Yosher. I got to go. Right, Mincha Ma'ariv. Last night, somebody came over to me at Mincha Ma'ariv, or two nights ago, said, you know, by COVID, we used to do a Dvar Halacha between Mincha Ma'ariv. And COVID, we stopped it. And, you know, we just stopped it. So someone said, you know, maybe we should go ahead and just do a kapitel tehillim just between Mincha Ma'ariv. It's 30 seconds. There are two people standing behind this guy. They're both like... unofficial straw poll. Unofficial straw poll. No? I think to myself, we're always running somewhere. So by Mincha Ma'ariv, dinner, shachris, work, shir, heh, the wedding, shir, wedding. So we never have clarity of thought. We never have clarity of thought because we're always on to the next thing. We're always on to the next thing. Again, this is a bigger topic in terms of mindfulness and just being aware of the karma. But the Piagetsna says, it's incredible. Do you want to know why we get ourselves into trouble in life? It's very simple. We don't have clarity of thought. We just don't have clarity of thought. Because if you have clarity of thought means you recognize that you live lifnei Hashem. And if I live lifnei Hashem before God, then by definition, everything in my life looks different. So kind of coming full circle, one of the beautiful parts of us, it's important to remember, one of the beautiful parts about Yamim Noraim, people say davening is long. Yeah, davening is long. And guess what? Where do you have to be? Where do you have to be? And when else do you have just a couple of hours just to sit and think about your life? You don't have to say every single word of the Maaser if you don't want to. You don't have to sing every single niggun if you don't want to. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. But utilize the time. Sit and think. Ribono Shalom, nice to see you. I'm always running. You're always, God's never running, but I'm always running. I'm always running. Let's spend a couple of hours together to get that. So on Yom Kippur, why is it that on Yom Kippur I feel differently than the rest of the year? Why is it? So you could tie up, maybe because I'm fasting. That obviously changes everything. Maybe because I know everything that's being decided and sealed on this day. The Piagetsna would say it's much simpler. It's because I'm present. And when I'm present, I have clarity of mind. And I recognize that I am lifnei Hashem. I am before the Ribono Shel Olam. And I will say, all I need is that clarity of mind. And once that clarity of mind occurs, everything else falls into place. The Piagetsna goes on. He says, Kol Iker, listen to this line. Kol Iker nifchisaron shel, Kol Iker chisaron shel nafila sa'adam, who vatishkach kel mecholaleka. I will say, ultimately, again, man's entire downfall is encapsulated in that one phrase, that he forgets Hashem. And I will say, forgetting Hashem means a lack of life clarity, a lack of clarity of thought. Shenafal mimachshavto, I don't have clarity of thought. Ve'eno zach zaka bara vechazak otam kiyom mikiporim kedome. Ve'afidu mirtza ish techazik ulahagbir esaytu machshavto. And here's the problem. Sometimes even when I try to achieve that clarity of thought, even if I get it, what's the problem? I can't hold on to it. Right? Even if I reach it, I can't retain it. The Chayvan Shekain. So the Rabbosai, here it is. And this is the line to be underlined. The Chayvan Shekain Rabbosai. So the Piagetsna says, the entire essence of the challenge of the human condition is a lack of clarity of thought. It's not that we don't learn enough Torah. It's not that we don't daven with enough kavana. It's not that we don't give enough tzedakah. Maybe those things are true also for individuals. But lamaisa, the challenge we have in life is that I lack clarity of thought. And therefore, says the Piagetsna, therefore, v'chivon shekein, kala avodosenu tzvicha lios eich lechazek es machshavosenu la'archiva lechaska u'lechachlela u'lekasha l'shem mizrach. We'll say, this is the line. Says the Piagetsna, do you know what we are going to accomplish? Here's what we're going to accomplish. Clarity of thought. How do we strengthen our thoughts? How do we expand our thoughts? How do we bolster our thoughts? How do we go ahead and add different dimensions to our thoughts and ultimately attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The entire avoda of being part of this Chabura Rabosai is to achieve a level of clarity of thought. And clarity of thought means that I'm going to live my life with constant God awareness. That I am before Hashem, going back to the beginning of the Sefer, that I'm a son, not an Eved. I know Hashem not from a distance, but from close proximity. Says the Piagetsna. So I will say, look at the bookends. Moshe Rabbeinu says, why does Klal Yisrael experience downfalls? Vatishkach kel mecholaleka. We forget. Forgetfulness is the downfall of Hashem. Says the forgetfulness of what? Forgetfulness means the loss of clarity, the loss of mindfulness, the loss of clarity. When I don't have clarity of the mind, I lose my God awareness. And when I lose my God awareness that I live in the presence of Hashem, that's where the downward spiral begins. So, O space, let's go weiter. I'm sorry, actually, last two lines of Aleph. Rakam tamid tiya, tiya. I'm sorry. Shelo rak bizmanim ilo brashana b'shastikia. So we'll say it's very, very shayach. Right? So Piyajasta says, of course, everyone has clarity of thought during Tkiyah Shofar. Everyone does. Who cannot be moved by Tkiyah Shofar? But it's not enough to have clarity of thought 2 days a year. Right? That's not enough. So lo rak bin Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur mechadome. And Rosh Hashanah say, episodic clarity of thought is not enough. What we're aiming for is consistent clarity of thought. Consistent clarity of thought. Consistent mindfulness. Consistent God awareness. That's our goal. Rak tomid. Tiebara chazaka ukshura bekedusha. Bekedusha. I will say absolutely beautiful. O space. Let's go weiter. O space. Says the Rebbe. Vihine. This is an incredible, incredible piece. Vihine. Lefiha emes. Well, so we'll do this piece. I know we started late, but I don't want to keep you too late. So look what the Rebbe says. Vihine. Lefiha emes. Avodas hamachshava tzvi. So we'll say, so now, again, we know our goal. Isn't it good, by the way? Sometimes, you know, you learn things. And you're not sure exactly what you're supposed to do with what it is that you learn. The beauty of the Sefer Abosai is, remember, again, this is written as a guide to create groups, which in Meretz I say all the time. We're learning as a larger Chabura. By the time we get to the end of the Sefer, we're going to split off into smaller Chaburas and then do the Avod of the Piyajetzna. So the Piyajetzna says, by the way, now, Abosai, I know what I'm working towards. Such a good thing. Sometimes in life, even if you don't know how you're going to actualize your goals or when you're going to actualize your goals, it's great to know what? It's great to know what? What the goal is. What the goal is. And I'll say, I know that sounds strange, but do you know how many of us go through our lives without a clearly identified or articulated goal? Right? I know what I have to do today, right? I know what I have to do this week. That's great. Good. I have my to-do list. What am I doing with my life? Right? I'll say, imagine you're walking out of the shir. Walking out of the shir. Right, satiated physically and spiritually, right? And you walk out, then somebody stops you. Excuse me. What's your plan for your life? What do you want to accomplish? What's your answer? Right, you're going to be like, I think you're looking, are you looking for silver? You're looking for silver, right? You're looking for silver, maybe you go. Hey, let's say, don't look for me, because the truth is I'd have a difficult time answering that as well. In other words, I would say, so the Piaget says, like, you got to get clarity. So ultimately, again, now I know what I have to do. I know what my goal is. I need clarity of thought. That's what I need. Clarity of thought engenders God awareness. Shviz Hashem Negdi Samid. And God awareness ultimately propels me in a totally different direction. Base. Here we go. Vine lefia emes avodas hamachshav tzrich liaskel milamato lemalo. Mitchili yitares gufo vaaz machshavto memelo. Memelo titar v'tischazek. Velo shiaskel adam memachshavto barishon. So this is actually very interesting. So the Piaget says, so how do you do this? How do you achieve clarity of thought? So I will say, so the Piaget, really, what it first starts with is what he calls milamata lamala. This is a bottom-up process. Bottom-up process. What does that mean? The first step in clarity of thought is physical purity. Is ultimately, again, what's the right word? Refining my physical life. Refining my physical behaviors. Because ultimately, again, the mind, the neshama, resides in the body. If the body is not in an elevated state, the mind and the neshama cannot necessarily reach a state of clarity. So therefore, says the Piyajetzna, when we speak about achieving clarity of thought, again, it's a bottom-up process. Start with purity, right? Purify the guf, purify the body, and then you can purify the mind and the spirit. Aval, listen to this. Bedoros harishonim shekevan. So again, this is what earlier generations did. So earlier, whatever earlier generations mean, right? But earlier generations, so again, where everybody's working towards the same goal, clarity of thought to create God awareness. Where does that start, Rabbi? Where does that start? with a pure body. Which, by the way, I just want to point out, this is not new. This already the Torah says. Remember again, Kedoshim to you. Part of the Torah says Kedoshim to you. How do Rashi, the Ramban, how do they define Kedoshim to you? As, well, why does Kedusha, how do you define to be holy? Ultimately, physical restraint. Physical restraint. Ramban says, Kadesh es atzmecha b'mashe mutarlach. It means restraining yourself even in the realm of that which is permitted. So the Gemara gives an example. Can you eat meat and wine for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Are you allowed to do it? You allowed to? Absolutely. Absolutely. Should you do it? Absolutely not. Why? Because it creates a gluttonous lifestyle. So Kedusha means refining my physicality. And how do you refine your physicality? Obviously, I'm not allowed to do the things that are usur. But even more than that, there are things that are mutter. There are things that are permitted. There are things that are permitted. But ultimately, again, I shouldn't do it. Well, so I'll just tell you, just as an aside, one of the things that's always bothered me, I have a profound appreciation of technology and modern advances. Two things that just bother me to no end. Fake shrimp and par of cheese. And par of cheese. And par of cheese. Right? So I want to tell you something. I push it. I think it's wrong. I'm not commenting on the. I have no basis of a comparison. But I'm saying like I'm not talking about the quality of it. I'm talking about why does a yid need to do that? Right? Fake meat. It's also what? I'm sorry.
Something I miss. It's good to have.
It's good to have.
I mean, I'm Balchuba. I used to have it, so when I have it, I enjoy it.
Oh, you're saying?
As a Balchuba.
Good. Have a piece of kichel and herring. It's even better. It's even better.
Right? Now we'll say.
So I will tell you like this. Okay, I hear that. I will say, but I just want to tell you something. I think that there's a hashkafic problem with it. I think that there's a hashkafic problem with it. The hashkafic problem is what does it represent? It represents an attempt to take something that is unequivocally usser and to make it mutter. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why? And you have to ask yourself a very simple question. Does that, Jonas and I have this conversation all the time, right? Right? Why? Why? And does that actually make you more kosher when you're taking the fake shrimp and you're dipping it in whatever people dip it into, right? Do you feel the Ribono Shel Olam coursing through your veins, right? Or essentially, am I saying, you know what? The Goyim have it. It tastes really good, right? So I want to have it also. I will say, but that's dafka what Kedusha is. Kedusha is saying, I know I could have it, but I'm not going to have it. Because placing limitations and placing restraints on myself. I will say, by the way, this is the same thing in so many different ways where there's excess in certain areas, whether it's crazy Pesach programs that just go over the top, that just go over the top. And if that money would be focused on Jewish education and that money would be focused ultimately on Jewish poverty, we could really move the needle for many things in Klal Yisrael. And the excess, there's excess. Gashmius is beautiful. Gashmius is wonderful. There's a line between ultimately enjoying Gashmius and just totally losing yourself in the material world. And that's where Kedusha is. Kedusha isn't the line between mutter and asr. Kedusha is saying even if something's mutter, it's not good. I shouldn't have it. And it's not that I'm doing an isser. I just shouldn't have it. It's not the right thing. So the Piagetzna says something absolutely amazing. The Piagetzna says, really, the pathway to clarity of thought doesn't begin with the mind or the soul. It begins with the body. Castillo says, it's incredible yesod. The body is the kli, is the utensil that holds the neshama, that holds the moach, that holds the soul, that's right, the soul and the mind. And ultimately, again, if the kli is not tahor, then ultimately the neshama and the mind can't be tahorim either. Think about it, Rabbi Osei. How can you establish clarity of thought when the guf itself is in a state of disrepair? If the receptacle, if the kli which houses the neshama and the moach, ultimately is in a state of disrepair, the neshama and the moach are going to be in a state of disrepair. Therefore, says the Piagetzna, in reality, the pathway to clarity of thought is fascinating. It begins with the guf. It begins with Kedoshim Tiyu. It begins with creating a holy physical lifestyle, a holy physical self. And then, after I do that, then I could go on to the clarity of thought. But look what he writes. He says, Lo Kein Ata. Piagetzna says, essentially loosely translated, That's not how we roll, right? Ultimately, again, contemporarily, we've had to lose translation, right? That's we have to pivot a little bit contemporary. Look what he writes. Bidor shel ikvas ad mashiach. I will say, it's so touching to read these words. Piagetsna says, we have to use a little bit of a different model in our generation, which is the generation of Mashiach. I will say, Piagetsna, writing this in the 1920s, late 1920s, calling his generation the generation of Mashiach. Chazal say, this is the power of the Yid. The Yid always believes that he is in the generation of Mashiach. Piagetsna Shemi Komdomo, murdered by the Nazis in Machshon V'Zichron, believed, I guarantee you, to his last breath, that he was living in the generation of Mashiach. So he says, in our generation, the generation of Mashiach, Dor Namoch, Dor Shalak Abayim, we are a generation that doesn't have the same level of spiritual standing as previous generations. The gam chulshas haguf goremes harbi li adem hamshala she yuchal haish limshal alatzmo va'al gufo. So the Piagetsna Rebbe essentially says like this. He says the kasher maschil atas avodoso begufo lezacho the kacho zu vizula also biado. The Piagetsna says we're living in a different world. Rebbe Sayer, again, I just want to point out this is in Warsaw in the 1920s, right? You think to yourself, what was there to do? That's what our Piagetsna. What was there to do in Piagetsna in the 1920s? Like what? Like the Makolet? Like the grocery store? What? There was no football, right? There was absolutely no football, right? There was no football. First of all, it's Europe, and maybe they had soccer. Hey, but Lemaisa, I guarantee they weren't watching it. I would say, so Lemaisa, you think about this for just a moment, that the Piagetsna is saying we have... It's very difficult. There's too many pushes and pulls for us. So if we're going to wait to purify the body... You know what's going to end up happening? If we wait to purify, what's going to end up happening? What's going to end up happening? Nothing. We're not going to purify the physicality, and we're not going to end up achieving purity of thought either. We'll end up again with nothing. Therefore, says the Piagetsna, Lo shal guf yitar mikol shekin ha-machshava, shal nogav lo nasa, lezakos l'chaska, shenishar min nimichusa ha-shah, I'm sorry, I'm just going quickly just because of time, musim ufuelas, lochein. Therefore, says the Piagetsna, we'll say a pivot, a generational pivot, lochein, tzrichim lahaskil es ha-avoda b'machshava. Says the Piagetsna. See, Rabbi says, so just to follow the train of thought here. In Os Aleph, the most beautiful of the Piagetsna told me what my life mission is. I got it, finally. I've been waiting years, decades to figure out what my life mission is. Now I got it. Piagetsna, my Rebbe gave it to me. What's my mission? My mission is to achieve clarity of thought. Clarity of thought ultimately allows myself to recognize that I live with constant God awareness, and constant God awareness shapes the way I live every aspect of my life. How do you achieve clarity of thought? In the previous generations, purify the body, and then purify thought. In our generation, says the Piagetsna, not going to work. Because if you wait for people to purify their bodies, there's too many pushes and pulls, they'll never end up doing it. The body won't be purified, and they won't reach purity of thought or clarity of thought either. Therefore, says the Piagetsna, we have to pivot. And we're going to start directly with creating clarity of thought. We're bypassing an uplifting of the physicality of us, and not that it's unimportant, but we can't wait to work on clarity of thought until I have purity of the physical. I can't wait. So we're going to bypass that for now, and we're going to jump right to clarity of thought. And therefore, says the Piagetsna something amazing. Listen to this, Rabbi. Say, Lachem. Tzichim says, L'tach lezu karano eschavarasenu b'nei machshava tova. Rabbi say, why is the Sefer called b'nei machshava tova? Why is this the name? Because the whole essence of the chabura, Rabbi say, what is the goal? If you're part of this chabura, what is your goal? Your goal is to become a ben machshava tova. And what does it mean to be a son with good thoughts? I mean, machshava tova means I want to be a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has clarity of mind. Says the Piagetsna, that's why I chose the name for this chabura as Bnei Machshava Tova. Because that's the goal. The goal is ultimately to reveal and to cultivate a sense of clarity of thought. Machshava tova, the shachlala or the archiva, shalotei daka min adaka, ha'ara overes lenitzus, shemis kaba b'mehira, rak zaka v'chazaka ad she'es es kol guf, tachniva chol chushav dibatal tachta. And as you said before, when we speak of clarity of thought, we don't mean episodic clarity of thought, we mean continuous clarity of thought, right? A clarity of thought that exists in a continue ongoing. He tis aravi him tim shal ba'adam. And I both say the goal is that clarity of thought should become the strongest force within me. That clarity of thought drives everything else. כי האם כל איש מסקדש כל גוף פתאום בראש השנה בתקיעת יום הכיפר, וכיוון שרואים שגם את הגוף שלו נסקדש, שלו נסקדש שכל המחשב החזיקו, אנחנו נקדישו. Now listen, listen to this. But you'll say to yourself, Pia Jensen, you're contradicting yourself. You just said before that what? Clarity of thought could only occur when? Could only occur when? After what? After physical purity. And now we're saying, oh, but we're going to switch it up. We're going to start with clarity of thought and bypass. So how does it work? Peters, I'll tell you how it works. Rabbi say, you ever have a moment of incredible inspiration on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Anyone here ever have that? Of course. Rabbi say, when I have those moments of inspiration, clarity of thought, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, am I in a state of physical purity? Usually not. I don't mean physical purity like tumah. I mean like, have I worked on refining my physical behaviors? Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is yes. But more often the answer is no. But yet what you see is, Piagesta points out, the fact that a Yid could be inspired and have clarity of thought on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, even if he has not achieved physical purity, indicates to us that clarity of thought is possible even without physical refinement. And therefore, says the Piagetzna, once I know it's possible, and once I know that in our generation there's too many pushes and pulls to start with physical purity, if that's where we start, we're going to get stuck on that the rest of our lives and never really accomplish it. We're going to leave that, it's important, but we're going to make that second, and we're going to make the process of achieving clarity of thought first. The Rebbe goes on, he says, Lama zen na'azov es ha-machshav em ruach gevura lishon uluraki ba'atlusa bekebenu. Rebbe Piagetzna says, because I can't purify my physicality, why should I leave my spirit to rot in a decaying body? It's a very strong lashon. What the Piagetzna is saying is, essentially what the Piagetzna is saying is, sometimes the perfect, as Voltaire said, the perfect is the enemy of the good, right? So sometimes, again, if you can't have the model you desire, right? If you can't have the model you desire, then lemaisa, again, you have to choose the next best thing. And I was about to say, you can't get hung up on perfection. Because people who get hung up on perfection, have this conversation with people that, I've had many of these conversations with people where they don't want to start things unless they know they can finish it, right? So I will say, by the way, you ever meet like a very accomplished person who says that? Right? No. You know why? Because people who say they never want to start things like they can finish it do absolutely nothing. Because there's no guarantee that you can finish anything in life. So when people say, oh, I only want to do something if I know I could see it through, that means you're scared. That means you're scared and you're allowing your fear to paralyze you. So you'll just do absolutely nothing. So the Piagetzna says, I got it. What's the perfect model? The perfect model of Bosai for this is what? Is what? Purify your body, purify the physicality, purify the kli, and then move on to clarity of thought. Great. But what if I live in a time where purifying my physicality is just too overwhelming? Like Piagetzna say, his times. Allah has come of a kama, our times. So I have a choice. I could get hung up on the perfect model and do nothing, or, Bosai, the most important word in the English language, which is pivot. Pivot. Life is all about pivoting, right? Because again, if you get stuck on living life in accordance with the plan you made, then what do you do when the plan doesn't come to fruition? And the plan almost never comes to fruition. All you do, not all you do, but the most important thing you need to do is pivot. Is pivot? Piagetzna says, let's pivot. Instead of working on the goof first, why should we allow a compromised goof that I can't fix to prevent me from working on my machshava? Say for the Piagetzna that says Rabbi Osai, we're gonna retune the process a little bit. We're gonna work first on the machshava. So Rabbi Osai, now I know what it is that I need to accomplish. That halacha lemaisa, again, what's my goal? Again, what this is going to include? What's my goal? My goal is clarity of thought. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us the downfall of Klal Yisrael is we forget Hashem. Forgetfulness means obscurity of thought. My goal is clarity of thought. Clarity of thought engenders what? Shivisi Hashem Menegdi Samet, God awareness. And when I have God awareness and a constant ongoing recognition that I live my life before Hashem, everything falls into place. Now that the Piagetzna has outlined that for us, Rabbi Osei, now of course the next step is, how do we do it? How do we do it? Rabbi Osei, Emir Hashem, we'll continue in this incredible abode next week. Rabbi Osei, just two quick announcements. Number one, apology again that I was late. Number two, incredible Yashkach to Reb Tzvi. Not that I saw anything. There's no mamish, like nothing. Nothing that's, I think there's a pickle floating in there or something, right? So nice, incredible Yashkach to Reb Tzvi for the beautiful spread. Yashkach to Reb David. to Rab David. Ultimately, both scotch and bourbon. A double sponsorship, scotch and bourbon. And again, Steve put it out on the WhatsApp, and I'll read it again. Ultimately, let us remember, especially as Jews, to steer clear of arrogance, to remain humble. Let us refine our senses into a focus of awareness. As we enter Yamim Noram, we discover our personal tshuva and return to spiritual and moral growth. Amen. Ken Yiratzav Osai. Amen. Emirat Hashem, the adventure, the journey continues next week. Shkoyach. Myriff.
What was the
Perfect is the enemy of the good.